When the disciples asked Jesus when the end of the age would come and what would be the sign of his coming, one of the things that he said is nation will rise against nation. Why all this competition between the nations? Why does somebody get in power and want to rule and subdue and make things go his way? It's because he's seeking greatness for himself. Why does he criticize the former president? He's seeking greatness for himself. What does God think about that? We'll talk about it today. Somehow, nations think that they can stand against God and do whatever they please. And what we're going to see today is that an individual and a nation is not to seek greatness for themselves. You and I were created, beloved, for the glory of God. What do I mean by the glory of God? I mean to give a correct opinion, a correct estimate of who God is. If you and I go back to the forming of the nations, and the nations were formed after the flood, after Noah's ark stopped and they got off the ark, Noah's three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, fathered children, and they became the nations. All those nations were instructed that they were to go out, spread out over all the earth, that they were to multiply, and that they were to be scattered, and they were to multiply. And instead, they went in rebellion against God, and they said no. And so they built themselves the Tower of Babel. You can read about this in Genesis. And they built the Tower of Babel, and they said this: we will make a name for ourselves. They were seeking greatness for themselves. So what God is going to do at this time in Jeremiah, he is going to give the prophecies regarding the nations. Now, these prophecies were written down in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, but they come at the end of the book of Jeremiah, because Jeremiah is to be a prophet not only to Judah and to Jerusalem, but he is to be a prophet to the nations. So what God has done is he saved these prophecies, and he, in his sovereignty, has had Jeremiah lay them out for the end of the book. The first message comes to Egypt. Now, as we look at these, we're not going to labor long, because in the first place, we don't have a long time to labor, because we have to cover chapter 46 through 49, and some of these are long. But what I want you to watch for is I want you to watch for people in rebellion to God. All right, and just see what you can pick up. Now, if you have downloaded the study guide, if you have gone to preceptsforlife.com, we have a study guide for you. And we have it every time we teach a book of the Bible, because we want you to discern truth for yourself. We want you to know truth, because the minute that you get involved in the Word of God, you are hearing from God himself. And God then takes his word and he uses it to wash you, to cleanse you. He uses it to discern the thoughts and intents of your heart. He uses it to show you how you should live. So this is what we want to see. What is he saying to the nations? What does it mean to me? What can I learn from them? Chapter 46, verse 1, that which came as the word of the Lord to Jeremiah the prophet concerning the nations. Now, anytime nations are mentioned, I mark it in a special way. I personally color it green and underline it in brown. So he's going to tell us now which nation that he's talking first to. Verse 2, to Egypt. So he's going to talk to Egypt in chapter 46 in 2 to 12. He's got a message. And that message concerns the army of Pharaoh Necho, king of Egypt, which that army, and you've got to make sure that you understand that, which that army was by the Euphrates River at Carchemish. Now, if you have a study guide, you can look at that study guide and you can see where Carchemish was. There was a very decisive, important battle that went on in 605 BC at Carchemish. And what you had is you had Pharaoh Necho coming up from Egypt. You have Nebuchadnezzar coming over from Babylon, and you have a conflict there. And so Egypt is bringing up their armies. Of course, Egypt has to go right through the land of Israel. It says, which was by the river Euphrates River. And remember, the Euphrates River goes all the way back over to Elam, back in to Babylon, and then it goes north. And this is the way that they traveled, because that was their water route, and they had to have water. And to go straight from Babylon straight over to Israel would be through desert. So it says, which Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, defeated in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah. So he's going to talk to the army. Okay, and this is what he says. Line up shield and buckler. Draw up near for battle. Harness the horses. Mount the steeds, he says, and take your stand with helmets on. Polish the spears. Put on the scale armor. Why have I seen it? They are terrified. They are drawing back, and their mighty men are defeated. They have taken refuge in flight, and without facing back, terror on every side, declares the Lord. Here you are, you're all spiffed up for battle, and now you're retreating. He says, let not the swift man flee, nor the mighty man escape. In the north, beside the river Euphrates, they have stumbled and they have fallen. He says, who is this that rises like the Nile? In other words, Egypt is saying, we're going to get Babylon. They're not going to succeed. They're not going to come down this way. So they rise like the Nile River that overflows its banks, like the rivers whose waters surge about. Egypt rises like the Nile, even like, and he said, I will rise and cover the land. I'll take over. Seeking greatness for himself. And he says, I will surely destroy the city and its inhabitants. Go up, you horses, and drive madly, you chariots, that the mighty men might march forward. Ethiopia and Put that handle the shield, and the Lydians that handle and bend the bow. This is Libya. This is over in this area of the continent of Africa. And here are these men coming, and here they are that bend the bow. And it says, for a day, that day belongs to the Lord God of hosts. You're seeking greatness for yourself. You think that you're going to rise up like the Nile, that you're going to take over, and that they're going to be just put down. He says, that day belongs to the Lord God of hosts. What is God saying? God's saying, I'm in charge. I'm in charge. In Daniel chapter 4, Nebuchadnezzar eventually discovers this. And he eventually discovers, hey, you didn't get famous. You didn't get great on your own. I'm the one that did it. And that's when Nebuchadnezzar turns around and takes the pen, the quill, out of Daniel's hand and begins to write in Daniel chapter 4. And as he writes in Daniel chapter 4, he says, I know that you do according to your will. Now watch, in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, none can stay your hand. None can say, what are you doing? Why? Because he is God and there is no other. So that day belongs to the Lord of hosts, a day of vengeance, so as to avenge himself on his foes. And the sword will devour and be sated and drink its fill. The sword will drink its fill of their blood. For there will be a slaughter for the Lord of hosts in the land of the north by the river Euphrates. In other words, they're going to go north and they are going to get slaughtered. It is a day of vengeance. And this is what he says. Go up to Gilead and obtain balm, O virgin daughter of Egypt. In vain you have multiplied remedies. There is no healing for you. The nations have heard. Now catch this word, shame. The nations have heard of your shame. It's all the talk. I mean, they're all talking. Oh, Egypt was defeated. Egypt was defeated at the Battle of Carchemish. And it says, one warrior has stumbled over another. What happened, they believe, according to their records, not in the Bible, but according to their records, what they believe is the weak men, they got afraid. The strong men are there. They start to retreat. The strong men can't get by the weak men. They're just stumbling in this battle. He says, for one warrior has stumbled over another, and both of them have fallen down together. Now that's the first message. Verse 13, this is the message which the Lord spoke to Jeremiah the prophet about the coming of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, to smite the land of Egypt. Do you remember that? Do you remember it from last week? Do you remember how after in chapter 39, when Nebuchadnezzar conquered Jerusalem and he left a remnant in the land, and the remnant went to Jeremiah and they said, what should we do? Where should we go? Ask God and tell us. Whatever God says, whether we like it or not, we will do it. And so Jeremiah goes to the Lord. 10 days later, it comes back with the answer. And he says, you are to stay in this land. You are not to go down to Egypt. And then he tells them the consequences of going down to Egypt. And they put their hands on their hips, thinking that they are smarter than God, that they are greater than God, and they want their pleasure. And they say, we're going to Egypt. We're going to Egypt where we will not know famine. We've been in famine and we're going to go to Egypt. We're going to go to Egypt. We're making bread cakes to the Queen of Heaven. She took care of us and we didn't suffer then. What are they doing? They're seeking greatness for themselves instead of the glory of God. So they said, we're going to go to Egypt. We're not going to see the sword anymore. We're not going to face famine. We're not going to suffer pestilence. Oh, oh, oh. Wait until you hear what happened.
Do you love Kay Arthur's teaching? Would you like to get up to speed on all of Precept Ministries' news and events? Join us on Facebook by visiting precept.org/Facebook. Receive daily biblical encouragement, special messages from Kay, updates on new products, event announcements, and get connected with others seeking the truth from God's Word.
See you on Facebook.
We are on the air because of friends who give generously to this ministry. Our financial partners at every level provide the faithful, ongoing support we need to touch thousands of lives every single day. To partner with us, visit preceptsforlife.com today. Your much-needed gift will help us reach the world with the Word of God.
God had written it in Isaiah chapter 31, verse 1. Woe be unto those who go down to Egypt for help in the time of trouble. And don't look to God. Here are the children of Israel. They have seen Jeremiah's word come to pass. They have seen Babylon come and destroy them, just as Jeremiah said, just as was written in that scroll, just as Baruch copied it and recopied it after the king burned it. And yet now, after they've seen all this, they are determined that they are going to return to Egypt. And so what does God say? I want to back you up to Jeremiah because it'll help you appreciate the next message more. But I want to back you up to Jeremiah chapter 44, verse 24. Then Jeremiah said to all the people, including the women, "Hear the word of the Lord, all Judah who are in the land of Egypt." They said, "We're going back to Egypt," and they went back to Egypt. And those saucy women were saying, "Our husbands knew we were making bread cakes to the Queen of Heaven, and they allowed us to do it. And we were better off, and we had food then, and we had plenty. We had prosperity, and we're going to do this." What are they doing? Now listen carefully. They are seeking their greatness. They are seeking their glory instead of God's. They have refused to listen. And so God says to them, "Nevertheless, hear the word of the Lord, all Judah who are living in the land of Egypt. Behold, I have sworn by my great name, says the Lord, never shall my name be invoked again by the mouth of any man of Judah in all the land of Egypt, says the Lord, as the Lord God lives. Behold, I am watching over them for harm and not for good." Now, as I read this to you, I want you to know that I believe, precious one, that God, and this is hard to say, but God is judging America. And He is going to continue to judge America as we seek greatness for ourselves, as our president, as our political leaders, as leaders in the communities, as governors, anyone that is seeking greatness for himself, anyone that thinks he's smarter than God, anyone that thinks that he has a right to play the role of God in a person's life, so that all we're doing is, instead of looking to God to take care of us, we're looking to government to take care of us. I believe that even Israel, as Israel is looking to the nations for their approval and their approbation, if they do that, if the prime minister of Israel leads the people that way, then what he is doing is he is seeking greatness for himself instead of glory from God. To get glory from God, or to give glory to God, is to give a true or a correct estimate of who God is. And so these people say they're going to Egypt. And so God says this, "Behold, I am watching over them for harm and not for good." I'm in Jeremiah 44, verse 27. "And all the men of Judah who are in the land of Egypt will meet their end by sword, by famine, until they are completely gone. The one who escapes the sword will return out of the land of Egypt to the land of Judah, few in number." He's just going to leave a small remnant to a testimony. "Then all the remnant of Judah, who has gone into the land of Egypt to reside there, will know that my word will stand." And then he says he's going to give them a sign, and he tells them that Nebuchadnezzar is going to come down against them. Now look at Jeremiah chapter 46 in verse 14. "Declare in Egypt and proclaim in Migdal, proclaim in Memphis and Tophanes." And you see these cities mentioned in Jeremiah 43, 2 to 3, and 44:1 say, take your stand and get yourself ready, for the sword has devoured those around you. Why have your mighty ones become prostrate? They do not stand. They do not stand because the Lord has thrust them down. They have repeatedly stumbled. Indeed, they have fallen against one another. Then they said, get up and let us go back to our people and to our native land, away from the sword of the oppressor. They cried there, Pharaoh, king of Egypt, is but a big noise. Here they're going down to Egypt for help. And they look at Pharaoh and they say, he is but a big noise. He has let the appointed time pass. As I live. Now, watch how God defines himself. As I live, declares the king, whose name is the Lord of hosts, surely one shall come up who looms like Tabor, the mountain, among the mountains, or like Carmel by the sea. Make your baggage ready for exile, O daughter dwelling in Egypt. And he's talking to those Jews that went down, for Memphis will become a desolation. Nebuchadnezzar's coming. He says it will even be burned down and bereft of inhabitants. Egypt is a pretty heifer, but a horsefly is coming from the north. It is coming. Also, her mercenaries in her midst are like fattened calves. Even they too have turned back and fled away together. They did not stand their ground, for the day of their calamity has come upon them. God had said to them in Jeremiah, we studied it last week, if you go down to Egypt and to get away from the king of Babylon, I want you to know I'm going to bring the king of Babylon down against Egypt. It says, its sound moves along like a serpent, for they move on like an army, and they come as to her as woodcutters with axes. They have cut down her forest, declares the Lord. Surely it will be no more found, even though they are now more numerous than locusts and are without number. The daughter of Egypt has been put to shame. Go over to the power of the people of the north. In other words, Egypt's been conquered. The Egypt in which you were trusting. And the Bible says, woe be unto those that go down to Egypt for help in the time of trouble. And do not look to God, to the sovereign God of all the universe, who wounds, who heals, who kills, who makes alive, who moves armies, who puts his hooks, as we see in Ezekiel 38, in the jaws of nations and brings them down to accomplish his will. The Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, says, behold, I am going to punish Ammon of Thebes, that's a god, and Pharaoh and Egypt, along with her gods and her kings, even Pharaoh and those who trust in him. I shall give them over to the power of those who are seeking their lives, even into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and the hand of their officers. And then he has one more thing to say about Egypt and its future, but you'll have to wait until tomorrow. Just know, Egypt exists today. Egypt is a power. Egypt is seeking greatness for itself. You say, they shouldn't do that. Are you seeking greatness for yourself? Or are you seeking to be a humble servant of God Almighty, thanking him for this life and willing to stand in the days of judgment that are coming? Because they're coming. Are you seeking greatness for yourself, beloved? As God told Baruch, do not seek greatness for yourself. Or are you seeing yourself as a humble servant of the Lord, given the word of God and able to get it to others, able in these critical, epical days in which we're living, able to stand and to proclaim the word of God in season and out of season? You say, but if I do, I'm going to be ostracized. I'm going to lose friends. I'm liable to get in trouble with the government because now there are certain things I can't see. I'm just going to come over here and I'm going to huddle in my corner. Oh, no, you're not. No, you're not, beloved. You need to cling to God as the waistband clings to the waist of a man. That you, in your clinging, in your dependence, in your lack of seeking greatness from God, that you might be a person for praise and renown and honor and glory. His praise, his honor, his renown, his glory. This is what it's all about. Don't forget your precept for life today is don't forget the question, are you seeking greatness for yourself? Just know this, if God has Egypt in his control, if God is able to bring Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, up that Euphrates River and then down along the Mediterranean Sea and bring him down to Egypt and conquer Egypt and its mighty army on its own land, on its own turf, is God not able to take care of you? If he can take care of a nation, if he can take care of an army, as we said, if he can turn the army around, if he can put the slow ones in front of the fast ones so they can't even move, is God not able to take care of you and protect you? He is. He is. So what do? You cling to him. You cling to him as the waistband clings to the waist of a man, and you don't let him go. You're not seeking greatness for yourself. You simply want to glorify him by showing your total and complete and absolute dependence and trust on who he is. He is the Lord. He is the God of all flesh, and there is nothing, as Jeremiah says, too difficult for him.
Thank you for watching today. To download your free copy of the study guide or to find out more about Precept Ministries International, click on our website or call us today at 1-800-763-1990. Join us for our next program as Kay shares more Precepts for Life.